You're meeting a few friends for a drink after work to catch up. After a couple of drinks, you decide to have another round because, well, it's Friday and you've had a big week. Before you know it, that turns into a few more rounds and the rest of the night becomes a bit of a blur. And in the morning, you ask yourself, was that worth it? Why do you drink so much? We'll soon hear from a man who decided one morning, no, it wasn't worth it, and then decided to do something quite creative to change his drinking habits. But first, here's Sarah Callanan. She's from La Trobe University's Centre for Alcohol Policy Research. Now, Sarah, in trying to understand and reduce problem drinking, four main types of drinkers have been identified. Take us through the four in summary.
The work we've been talking about a lot the past week is actually more about the four types of drinking motives, the four types of reasons why people do choose to drink. So, for instance, there's drinking for social reasons. So that's because you want to enhance the positive feel around you, sort of external feel around you, whilst then there's also drinking for conformity because you want to decrease the negative vibe that you might get if you're a non-drinker in a space, which I'm sure Benny might have something to say about. Then there's also drinking for enhancement, which is to increase the positive feelings within yourself. And then there's drinking to cope, which is to decrease the negative feelings within yourself.
So why is it for you important to understand what motivates you drinking, you know, especially heavy drinking?
I think one of the reasons is because when we think about the kind of environments and situations that can lead to heavy drinking and harms from alcohol, all of those things are all kind of filtered through why you actually end up choosing to drink. So if you're in a certain situation and that situation makes you more likely to drink, it gives you a motivation to drink. So understanding those motivations can be important if you're trying to reduce heavy drinking.
And I'm imagining too, if you're working with someone if you're a counsellor or something and someone comes to you with a drinking problem, understanding why they drink is also useful.
Yeah, there's actually been some really exciting research recently showing that an intervention aiming to reduce someone's heavy drinking takes into account their primary drinking motivation, the one that pushes them the most to drink. At least in women, there's evidence that using that information can increase the efficacy of the intervention.
Now, you mentioned primary motivation too, and with those sort of four types, there's the social drinking to conform or for sort of excitement or for coping. I imagine that, you know, there are lots of us who might fall across those categories.
Absolutely. There's always going to be, there's different situations that drinkers will drink in, and it's particularly heavy drinkers. If you drink a lot, then you're probably experiencing all of those motivations because you've got more situations where you would choose to drink.
All right. Let's now meet Benny Wallington. Benny, tell us what happened to you a couple of years ago, right at the start of 2016.
Yeah, so the start of 2016 was pretty interesting. I guess it was the 3rd of January. It's around the festive season. I was living in London at the time, and London has a very similar drinking culture to many of the major cities in Australia, where you're kind of expected to drink. It's really easy to go to the pub, especially in the depths of winter when it's quite dark all the time. And I'd been drinking for the first, the second, and then over the New Year's Eve period too. And it got to the third, and I looked over to my flatmate as I had been doing each day, and we were still on holidays from work. And he said pub, just one single word. And I got up to go to the pub and spilt my 1 pound can of cheap beer down into the crevice of my love handle and into the couch. So
there's an image.
As I got up, I took the last warm sip of beer and thought, I'm turning 30 this year. This isn't how it's going down. So I let him go off to the pub by himself and wrote a few rules, which I called the 101 tokens rules.
Okay, so tell us about this, how you sort of resolved to change and what 101 tokens is and means.
Yeah, so I was drinking 4 to 5 times a week. Not always to get drunk, but just a lot of social drinking after work. But on the weekends, I used to give it a bit of a nudge. So this way, I wanted to cut my drinking down to under twice a week. So 101 is just under twice a week in terms of drinking sessions. Numbers of days in the year, which shocks some people. But I think when people start to think about how much they actually drink, most people in my groups tend to drink sort of 1 to 2 to 3 times a week. And then when you actually dive into it, you talk about holidays and public holidays, and the numbers start to go up. I think the statistics in Australia are there are 5 million plus Aussies drinking 3+ times a week. So that's quite a lot. So the number was just to essentially get it down under twice a week, and 101's a catchy number, you know. So that was pretty sticky.
What are the tokens?
So the tokens are just sort of metaphorical at the moment, I guess. You just, every time you have a sip of alcohol or you go out for a full night out drinking, you use the application that we've developed the next day. So that then allows you to put in whether it was worth it or not. So it's just a simple yes or no, yay or nay. And then by looking back at the app, you're essentially drawing patterns in your drinking so you can identify the nights that weren't worth it and try and fix your habits.
This is, I understand it, you've got this app now, but it started as a Facebook group. Why did you want to sort of get a community online together on this?
Yeah, definitely. So the first year I did it with a $2 calendar or £2 calendar from the £2 store. And the second year it was really just inviting my friends and family. So this was last year. We just had a Facebook community group, and that's where we connected. Some of us would share our stories on an Instagram page, but it was really basic. I just gave a bit of a guideline in terms of buying a calendar, and here's a few tactics, and stay under 101, and here's how the rules work. But it was really all about speaking with my community and actually learning from them about what would make it better for people this year, what would make it easier to stay accountable. And the number one thing resoundingly was that although it's great to have a physical calendar, we've got our phones on us all the time. And this was just the most simple way to make a really basic app that wasn't going to take up too much of our time because we spend too much time on our phones already, just to become accountable and just to, as we call it, retrain your booze brain.
And as I understand it too, Benny, so if you're on one of your 101 days when you can have a drink, the next day on the with the app or online, you have to sort of say if it was worth it or not, if you thought it was worth it or not to do that. Is that right? Is that how you sort of working it?
That's correct. Yeah, so that is really the most important thing.
Why is that?
Because by referencing whether it's worth it or not, you can identify the good nights. And we have a few tactics about how to work out what's a good night. And that starts with your why are you drinking in the first place?
Sarah was saying.
Definitely. Yeah. Interestingly enough, someone in my community shared Sarah's article. So we've been discussing it. So this is really cool that I'm on talking about it. The way that works is that when you're hitting like a bunch of nays in a row, then you can identify what potential things are you doing when you're going out drinking that are making this not worth it. We like to sort of dive into, is it the type of drinks? Is it the people you're hanging out with, which can sometimes be hard to actually think about and be truthful with yourself on? Is it the food that you're having or not having? And is it the location? But there's other things like mindset that come into this, but they're the kind of four pillars that we try and help our guys work on when they're trying to figure out how to make their nights worth it.
Amanda Smith with you in Life Matters with Benny Wallington, who's turned a New Year's resolution to cut down his own drinking into a growing online community of smart drinkers. So what do you think about Benny's strategy to be a smart drinker, a mindful drinker, I guess you could say? Perhaps you've got your own version of that to keep your alcohol consumption to a level that works for you. Tell us about it. You can look us up on Facebook by searching ABCRN Life Matters. Sarah Callanan's also with us. She's a research fellow at the Centre for Alcohol Policy Research at La Trobe University and recently wrote an article for The Conversation about these sort of four motivations for why we drink. Sarah, How many Australians do drink in a potentially risky way? What do you know about our drinking habits?
So I think it's roughly about 17% of Australians, 17% of drinkers, I think, drink to long-term risk, and it's more like a quarter drink to short-term risk. Now, long-term risk is more about the kind of drinking that can lead to disease, such as cancer and liver disease down the track, whilst short-term harm is more about things that can happen to you in the drinking occasion.
Young people now, though, are drinking less than their elders. That's positive, surely. Why is that?
I don't know if they're drinking less than older drinkers, but they're certainly decreasing their consumption in a way that older drinkers are not. So people under 40 in particular, and this effect is really strong in younger groups, say under 25, are decreasing their consumption at quite a rate, which is really quite promising. In particular, young people are starting drinking later. And I think there's a chance that programs like Benny's has a role in that, because it's becoming more socially acceptable to say in a given situation, actually, I'm not drinking tonight.
Is it also because young people aren't, you know, are living in an online virtual world anyway, not getting together face-to-face so much?
Yeah, some colleagues of mine, Michael Livingston and Amy Penney, are investigating what exactly is driving this decrease in consumption, and they're really trying to look into whether it is about social media and having that record. I'm glad I don't have one. But also if it's about an increased focus on health or anything else like that.
So, Benny, tell us how working up this 101 token system changed things for you.
So me personally, it essentially, like, the reason that people started getting behind it was because I was blogging about my how I was going through the experience. I saved a lot of cash. I started going on a lot of holidays. One thing about peer pressure, I was certainly living within a group of boys who, although were really good mates at the very start, were quite adverse to the fact that I was coming out and not drinking, or coming out and not drinking as much as I used to, because I kind of had this personality and type of drinker that was the guy who would push on with them. But after a while, and this happened again to me when I moved back to Australia, after a while your friends begin to accept it. And I'm a firm believer in just telling people that you're doing this and having your friends accept it, rather than trying to, you know, go to the bar and get pretend alcohol drinks or something like that, where you're kind of lying to your mates. So that's what I try and implore on my community as well, and get them to work as.
And have you managed to stick to the 101 days a year, the twice a week rule about drinking?
Yeah, definitely. I think I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't. The first year I actually hit 101 on New Year's Eve. Last year I hit 91. But I think what's important to know about 101 is that for some people it's actually quite a lot. And we don't discount people out of our community. There's some that are doing 24 this year. There's some that are doing 52.
So that's the number of days in the year. So
that's right.
So 52,
yeah,
of course, is once a week.
Once a week, yeah. 24, you know,
or once a fortnight, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And so, and because, as I said before, like, the main thing is the mindful drinking. So for me, I reckon if you're drinking 101 times and, you know, 95 of them were worth it, then I think you're doing quite well. But if you're drinking, you know, 25 times and 24 of them weren't worth it, then I think you're not really drinking mindfully, and there's a lot of help that you can get and a lot of improvement.
Well, tell us about how other people who are participating in your 101 tokens are going. What are they saying about it?
Oh, okay, so I've got a couple of good stories. One was from one of the 2017 group, and I guess on the topic of young people, because I really didn't think that this would be something that young people would pick up. When I was at uni, that probably wouldn't have even registered to me that I should only drink under twice a week. And we had a girl in the UK who came to me and said that, you know, she was drinking quite a lot, and she was really focusing on her journalism at the time, specifically sports journalism. And through focusing on that and cutting back her drinking straight away, she ended up starting to report on women's football professionally and got invited to the women's Euros. So she got paid to travel around, and it was interesting at that point, because I was like, surely you're on tour with the footballers and everything, surely you'd be drinking and partying. And she was like, no, I've really been aiming in on making sure that I make a career of this. And interestingly enough, she referred a friend who was in final year uni, and she finished it as well and ended up moving to London to get a job in fashion, which was her dream as well. That's fantastic, and I'm really looking forward to going into some universities and speaking about some of the guys who've done it and my own experiences as well. And also, one of my really close friends is up in Queensland. He drinks quite a lot, and he wrote a blog piece for me about how he's completely cut out the drinks after work, so he can spend more time with his family. He's got three young kids. So for me, like, there's nothing better than having helped my immediate friends and family with this stuff. It's great to help the world, but, you know, that's where the most important people are in my life. So
it does cool. sound like, though, that you've really struck a chord with, you know, finding a way for people to think about this and to act on it.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a lot of pressure to drink, and fundamentally 101 tokens gives you an excuse. Once people, and it sounds bad to say it, but once people accept it, it can be a really powerful tool.
It's also about not stopping drinking altogether. You know, it's just about getting it in, you know, in control in the way that works for you, yeah?
That's right, 100%. Yeah, I love a beer. What's really good is that I think that a lot of brands and things are listening as well. So I think for a beer brand, if someone's having a good experience on their beer, they're going to drink it again rather than, you know, potentially being hungover and whatnot. So and I guess if they are becoming hungover from that beer brand and then they're being mindful, they might think that's not the right way to do it. So I think there's a lot of improvement that can be made, and there seems to be a mindful drinking groundswell that's coming up.
All right. Well, Sarah, what do you think of Benny's 101 token system or even, you know, the other group interventions like FebFast and Dry July?
I think they're fantastic. And as I mentioned before, I think one part of it is giving people license in social situations to say, actually, I'm not drinking, or alternatively, actually, I'm not going to drink as much because I don't want to be hungover tomorrow or anything like that. But listening to Benny talking, I was thinking about the fact that over half of the alcohol in Australia is consumed outside of the risky guidelines. So most of the alcohol is consumed in a risky way. And so anything that encourages people to sort of stop before they get to that level, because they are thinking about how they're going to feel the next day or what the implications are, you know, there's some stories about people improving their careers and things in there, that's going to lead to people drinking in a healthier way.
And Sarah Callanan is a research fellow at La Trobe University's Centre for Alcohol Policy Research. And Benny Wallington is the founder of 101 Tokens, an online community now of smart drinkers. Benny, thanks so much for joining us. Good on you.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
So does being a smart drinker, a mindful drinker, appeal to you as a concept? Well, perhaps you are one. Have you found ways, your own ways, of keeping your drinking at a level that you feel okay about? You can post on Facebook.